This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen to this crowd. Trubisky takes the snap, takes a knee. They head to the field. The Bears have won it 24-17 over the Green Bay Packers. And it's been an anguishing absence from the playoffs. 7 years, 11 months, 27 days. They go last to first, and they win the NFC North 2018 division champions. For the first time since 2010, they're headed back to the playoffs.
We're back with more of the Scores Bears postgame show with Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams, and Hub Arkish. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
And the celebration is underway. Olin's here. Cat is here. I'm Hub. Come on out and join us at Joe's on Weed Street, 940 West Weed near Lincoln Park. For the Bears, just for the postgame show now. We've been here all day. We're going to be here for at least another hour, hour and a half. The guys are pouring shots for us now. Yeah, you can do it. Go ahead, guys. I'll carry till we get those shots down. Over 120 TVs here. Great place. Where's mine? What the hell's going on here? Great place to watch the game. There we go. All right. As soon as I get through this promo read, we'll take care of it. Thank you, guys. Over 120 TVs. Joe's is the place to be on game day. Today's broadcast is presented by Illini Healthcare, Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. To the Chicago Bears, guys, NFC North champs. All right, let's get back to the phone lines now. Whose turn is it? The hell was that? That wasn't whiskey. All right, let's get to Paco, who's in Milwaukee. Paco, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm on my way back to Milwaukee listening to the greatest of shows. I'm so excited here. I mean, like, an offense that moves to chains, a defense that is absolutely fearful and relentless, like a true team to believe in. I got to say, like, it's the improvement's been great because Rodgers, even when he had a little bit of time, he had such difficulty finding players downfield, and he usually is able to find that guy who picks us apart. And he found him once in a while, but not consistently. The one thing that I want to bring up, and it's not against the Bears, I think it's fantastic. Like, we weren't out-coached for a change. I have no idea why the Packers ended the game like they did, needing 10 points. Like, they did exactly the opposite of what we did 2 weeks ago against the Giants, where we went for the three so we could do the onside, try to pick up the seven. They wasted all that clock just going for seven. But I don't even care. I'm going home to my Packer fan wife and just not saying a word. Keep me smiling all the way home, boys.
Paco, be nice when you get home, man. You don't want to be paying for this for too long.
Hopefully he won a good bet.
Hey, right. Yeah, exactly.
but he is right, right? You watched today's game, and there was also, Cat, the mismanagement at the end of the first half. When you would think that the Packers would just run the clock out, and they don't, and they don't get a first down. And I think, I got to go back and check, but I think the Bears score there some more points. So the Bears today, they had the better team, they had the better coaches, they had the better organization, and it's been a long time since you could say that about when we faced the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, you're talking about a team that took the field, and they took the field this week with confidence. You know, you've seen them take the field against the Packers and not really be sure about what they're going to be able to go out there and get done. This week, going into the Packer game, you knew the Bears had a defense that could shut Rodgers down or at least limit the things that Rodgers was able to do. And I think we saw that later in the game when they weren't able to get as much push up front as far as that defensive line, but he still was not able to make those deep down the field throws that he normally makes.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Next up, let me see. Who should we go to next here, Tony? How about Mike in Iowa? Mike, thanks for calling. How you doing?
I'm doing great. NFC champs, worst to first.
Absolutely. What do you got for us?
My kudos go out to Olin Krutz. I called up. I wanted Chris Tabor fired after the Parkey 4 non-field goals. This is the best. And Olin brought me in off the ledge that day. They're going to be better. And this is the best special teams game I have seen since Dave Tobe was the special team coach of the Bears. I'd like to hear your guys' opinions. Thank you.
Well, Mike, you know, we know Chris is a good football coach in part because he's a Dave Tobe disciple and worked here with Dave and learned from the best, in part because he's done very well on his own, was successful in Cleveland coaching their special teams before he came back to Chicago. And, you know, listen, I don't know how you blame the coach for the kicker hitting the crossbar four times.
Right.
So, you know, when you look at the special teams play and how they're being coached, that's a whole different ballgame. I didn't love the fake punt call today, but he didn't call that, and it may work if they get the right look. I just think that Green Bay knew it was coming, and that's why they got caught on it. But other than that, the great return from Tariq Cohn, getting the onside kick at the end of the game, coverage outstanding, the great Josh Bellamy play down, catching the almost fair catching the punt for the defense at the 2-yard line. I think, what was the stat? The Packers started three of their first four drives inside their 10-yard line.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
right, good call. Very good day for special teams, guys.
It was, and look, the punt return, like Hub just said, the punts, the Bears special teams, I know they had that that hiccup there on the fake punt, but you got to give the whole team credit, Cat, where they come together. Like I said, you only do that there on the 50 because you trust your defense. And obviously it doesn't work out there, but Chris Tabor, his special teams unit, this team is not very deep. So he's coaching guys that maybe next year he'll have a stronger unit out there, right? A stronger special teams players. But you're talking about a team that's 10-4, and they brought this guy was on the ledge. Where do you think Parkey was when he hit the crossbar four times? He was speaking of a greater power, right? He had helicopters flying over his head down there at Soldier Field. He had all that pressure on him. Now, there was a guy there every day at Hallis Hall that he had to talk to, and that was Coach Tabor. And Coach Tabor had to talk him off a ledge, get him back going, let him know that the team and his coaching staff still believed in him, and they got him back going on the right track again, Cat. And big kudos to that whole special teams unit for that.
Yeah, and you don't get to the 10-4 record without a good special teams. You know, they have had bright spots throughout the season. You know, they've had a cut. You know, the Parkey hitting the field goal, that's, you know, a dim light. But you know, they have played well all season long. They have individuals on special teams that are playing well, that stand out. And that's what you need. Now, you'd like to have a few more guys like that, you know, that are on the field, special teams-wise, on a regular basis. But that will come with time. But for right now, they are doing exactly what they need to do. They are not screwing things up.
Yeah, and look, you also, I didn't take a very good look today. Got to recheck, but was McManus, who probably is their best special teams player, did he play special teams today? Because he becomes a starter now, so someone else has to step up, right? Someone else has to fill those shoes, and the special teams, no matter what you think about them all year, the Bears are still NFC North champs today. They're still the 3 seed, and they're still going into the playoffs, so they have to have some part in that.
You know, guys, I was actually in New York yesterday to do the Westwood call, the national radio call on that Texans-Jets game. And going into the game, the Jets had one Pro Bowl hope on the team. Their rookie kicker, Jason Myers, I think he's a rookie. He's a rookie or second year. He was 23 of 24 on extra points, 30 of 32 on field goals. He had literally missed three kicks all year, and he pushes two extra points wide right, no reason for it, no great rush, and it almost was the difference in the football game until the way it worked out in the end. It happens with kickers. That's not about the coach. And really, when you think about it, you know, Parkey hasn't been an all-star, but other than that one day, he hasn't really hurt you or put you in any bad positions either. So I think the Bears special teams are in good hands. They're going to continue to get better. Olin, you make an excellent point. This is a young team that is improving still. The depth on the roster is going to get better, and as your depth gets better, your special teams get better. And so far, so good. Let's get to Tom, who is in, what does it say, Forestville, Wisconsin. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a Packer fan, but I want to give a shout-out to the Bears for the win. I like to think I'm a graceful Packer fan. I'm a stockholder. But what I really want to do is thank Hub, because I think you are one of the brightest minds that I listen to on the radio in football. You should be on TV replacing some of the zooplankton that we have. Furthermore, I think the Bear fans have to back off on management, because they're doing a hell of a job. They're quick to react, and they could find fault with Gwyneth Paltrow. That's all I have to say, and I'll hang up.
What was the last part? They could find fault with Gwyneth Paltrow? Is that right?
I don't know. I missed the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Tom, just give me the irony, though. A lot of people are finding fault with Gwyneth Paltrow right now. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tom is right on a few things. Hub is excellent at his job and should be on TV somewhere, because he doesn't have a face for radio. But that's for another time. Now, listen, hey, Kat, we went through earlier, and I don't think we can do this too much, because I know at some point they may say we're sucking up or whatever it may be, but I don't think people realize how hard it is for us, because we know these people personally who are doing their job up there at Hallis Hall. And we know how hard that job is to try to get this team on the right track. And we know how much it means to them. Now, when they're doing bad at their job, we're going to be fair and we're going to say it. When you're not doing well, when, like Hub said, you're 14 and 24, 34 in so many years, when you haven't been to the playoffs in 8 years, we're going to call you on that. When you keep the same general manager who hasn't won a lot, who hasn't had very good first-round picks, we're going to say that maybe doesn't look like a good decision. But we sit here today, Kat, and we finally get to say, look, the McCaskey family, Ted Phillips, good job.
Yeah.
Good job out there. You turned the organization around. You kept Ryan Pace, when no one thought you should have. You let him hire a 39-year-old head coach, which tells me you step back. Because who would say to hire a 39-year head coach for the Chicago Bears to turn this organization around? But that's what they did. They kept Ryan Pace. They let him make his own decisions. They okayed the trade for Mack, giving up 2 first-round picks. They okayed that, and that's what let the Bears, Cat, sit where they are today.
Yeah, and there were easily some decisions in there that they could have shook their head to, like, this will never happen. But like you said, they went all in. They believed in the guys that they have around the organization, and today you're seeing the fruits of their labor. It is all paying off for them right now. So, you know, like I said earlier, like we've all said, enjoy this. You know, people have been waiting a long time for the Bears to be relevant again, and you have a front seat. You have a front seat to it.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, I want to stick up for my Bears fans here a little bit too, because, well, first of all, in case you're not aware, you said you were coming up from the game. Early on, in our first segment, we took our hats off to the Packers, congratulated them on a great run. They were worthy champions. They deserve that. They're moving into a new probably period for their football team, new management. We'll see how they do under Brian Gutekunst. I never, you know, the great thing about sports radio and sports in general is the debate. You know, people have opinions. There's not really a right or wrong. People are entitled to those. And there were some, you know, who thought maybe Ryan Pace should have gone last year, but I never heard a groundswell. I think there were a lot of people who thought he deserved a second chance. Maybe that first coach hire wasn't totally on his own. I also think there were times when Bears management has been totally deserving of a lot of grief, and I'm talking now over the last 10, 15, 20 years with a lot of things that they've done. But right now, near as I can tell, the city of Chicago is pretty much in lockstep, thrilled with the job that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are doing, and thrilled that Bears management, Reed, George McCaskey, and Ted Phillips have allowed him to do it. So, again, you know, we're not going negative here in any way today. You got a championship to celebrate. Bears fans are celebrating it. Let's get to another call from Wisconsin. Russell is on the line. Russell, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine, thank you.
I just got to say, woo! It's about time. We walked that aisle. We did what we had to do. We sweat. We paid the price. And now we're NFC champs.
Russell, I thank you very much for the call and those sentiments. I always feel obligated at this point to point out that actually none of us in this conversation did sweat or pay the price for this game today.
Speak for yourself. Huh?
Well, no, you guys did over the years getting here. I understand that. But it's been a few years since you went out and sweated for it, too. I mean, let's be honest here, you know? I get it. And Russell, we're glad that you're enjoying it. You know, guys, I think what we're really talking about is the hard work that the team puts in to get to a point like this. You two know better than anybody what it takes to accomplish something like this. And I'm not sure as fans that we really understand it. When you go all the way back to basically last New Year's Eve, Black Monday, they make a coaching change, they bring in an entire new coaching staff, and it starts all over again the second week in March. It's not like these guys went to work the first day in Bourbonnais, the first day of the season. This is, the culmination today of the last 10 months' work, and there is still work to do.
No, and a lot of that is true that you know, we won't, me and Kat have been in there and worked for NFC's. I mean, I remember winning NFC Central with Kat back in 2001, and it's an amazing feeling, right, Kat? It's an amazing when they give you those hats in the locker room, when they give you the T-shirt, you wear it home, and you're just so happy for your teammates, the city. Football is an ultimate team sport. But one thing that is the other side of that is this. There's a lot of players in there who don't understand how much the Bears fans have been suffering, too. And they brought this city some pride today. And like we said, you can't underestimate, Kat, the fact that it's been 8 years since they haven't been to the playoffs. We've done a lot of losing around here since we've been on radio, since we've been a team together. We have not seen a playoff game. They've done a lot of losing in the last five or six years, been a bottom of the NFC North for 3 or 4 years in a row. So there's some players in there who don't understand what the fans have been through. And listen, today the fans walk around with their chest out. There'll be a Packers jersey. It's been a long time. You know, I walk past kids or people from my kids' school who are wearing Packers stuff, and I just got to drop my head and walk by them because I got nothing to say to them, Kat. They beat us so many years in a row. Well, today's a different day, right? So I may give a guy, like this guy who just walked in the bar, I laughed at him with his Packers jersey. I may do that a few more times, Kat, because unlike Hub, I am not a gracious winner, and I did not congratulate the Packers.
I agree with you 100% on that. But I think that, you know, just like we talk about, you know, people coming, players coming to the organization and not understanding what the fans have been through, I think this has been a great learning season for them. Because you even have to go as far as saying that a lot of the guys that played in the game today have no idea of how deep the rivalry runs for the fans as far as the Packers-Bears go. You know, as far as, you know, marriages that are mixed and work, you know, sharing workspaces with other people that are Packer fans. And, you know, it sucks when the Packers, you know, are winning. So for the Bears to be relevant, for the Bears to win the division, that is a big step. And I'm glad they took that step.
All right, guys, I'm sorry. I am a gracious winner, but I am a god-awful loser. And I got to tell you, today's a lot better than the last 8 years.
Sure.
So we're certainly all in lockstep on that. 312-644-6767. Lots more calls to take. Lots more drinks to down here at Joe's on Weed Street. We're at 940 West Weed Street with the folks at Joe's. Our thanks to our sponsors for getting us out here today. We are presented by Illini Care Health, Mr. and Mrs. T. Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. Quick break here and back with more of your calls in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
was a lot of fun, and we took a few extra minutes on that with the guys. They're having too much fun, and they deserve it. And these are memories that you'll remember for the rest of your lifetime, and it's just special, special time.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking after the game. A little extra time for the post-game championship celebration in the locker room before the media came in. I'm sure everybody understood. I'm Hub Arkish along with Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams. We are live at Joe's on Weed Street, 940 West Weed, having a great time. Great place to watch sports. 120 TV screens. It was all about the Bears and the Packers today as the Bears clinched the NFC North title. Our thanks to our sponsors as we are presented today by Illini Healthcare, Illini Care Health, Mr. and Mrs. T. Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. And before we get back to the phone lines, a great tweet here from a friend who I really miss, Peggy Kaczynski, absolutely one of the best sports reporters in town. I'm happy because I understand she's happy in what she's doing now, but she left the beat a few years ago. And she tweeted at Kat, Nolan, and myself, I remember 2001 when hashtag Chicago Bears clinched in Minnesota and Big Cat lit a big fat cigar. I was 4 months pregnant and proceeded to run out of the locker room and throw up. Hashtag good times. So, Peggy, thank you for checking in. We know all is going well. We do miss you on the beat. Again, the phone number 312-644-6767. Let's get back to the phone lines and welcome Andrew into the show. Andrew's out in Washington, D.C. Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, Hab, doing pretty well. Great win today. My question for you guys was sort of on the big picture direction that the NFC North and the Bears are taking right now. My takeaway from the game today was I never really felt, even when the messed up fake punt and a couple other things that went against the Bears, I never really felt like the game was in jeopardy, whereas in previous years, the last 10 years or whatever, that the Bears have been playing the Packers, it felt like they had to play a perfect game, and they did not play a perfect game today, but they still managed to come out and win. So from a bigger picture question, I mean, are they the best team in the NFC North right now, and are they going to continue to be that in the foreseeable future?
Well, I mean, there's no question they're the best team in the NFC North, man. They just won the title, Andrew, and that's how you decide who the best team is. Do they have the most talented roster? Minnesota Vikings got a lot of talent on that roster, but they're just not as good as the Bears right now. You know, I think the Packers, if they get healthy, they're closer than they were today. But I said at the start of the season that I thought this was the first time in 3 or 4 years that they're, or actually longer than that, that the Bears might just have more talent than the Packers or the Lions. And we now see that that's the case. You know, a word of caution, 6 months ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had this kind of year last year, looked like they could be a Super Bowl contender, and they are just awful right now. So, and most of that talent is still there. Now, they don't have the future at quarterback that the Bears have, and that's part of it. But other than that, you know, they got some pretty good football players. So I think you take this a year at a time. The arrow, guys, is definitely pointing up for the Chicago Bears. But what matters right now is tonight they're the best team in the NFC North, and they're going to be through the season as they've just won the division title.
Yeah, and I think you have to look at Pace and Nagy right now and say that a lot of this falls on them. You know, they're in a situation now where they need to keep on building. You know, you can't be satisfied with what you have now because, yes, you were blessed with a season where you are able to stay healthy. There is no guarantee for that next season. So you've got to put other players in place at, you know, an assortment of positions to have this team ready to go deep into the year next year again.
Yeah, and a lot of things went into this year, right? We talked about all the changes they made. One big thing we didn't talk about was, and we talked about the last couple of weeks, was they changed their whole strength staff, right? Their whole strength and conditioning staff changed. The trainers changed because they had so many guys on IR, Cat. There's so many guys injured the last 2 or 3 years. And now one of their big advantages today against the Packers is they are – all their starters are there. The Packers have about eight or nine starters on IR. So they have all the injuries, and we don't, and we're winning now. So that's a really big deal. Now, look, us as radio hosts, the fans, we're going to really enjoy this NFC North championship, but don't fool yourself. The Bears in their locker room, they are not done this year. They know that they want to get to the playoffs and they want to make a run, because beyond this year, beyond 2018, beyond the 2019 playoffs, nothing is guaranteed now. You don't come back next year and you don't get guaranteed health, Cat.
Right.
You don't get guaranteed that everybody's going to be there again, that everybody's going to line up every week. So I'm sure, look, as happy as we all are, and I don't want to ruin it, so make sure you enjoy it. The Bears are not done yet this year. This year is not over. They want to make a run at this thing. And with the defense they got, and like we talked about, you don't know who's going to be back next year. You don't know if Vic Fangio gets a head coaching job. You don't know all those things are going to happen. So when your year comes, when you got health, when you're on a winning streak, you make a run at it, Cat. You make a run, and you make a run hard, because you don't know what's coming down the pipe next year.
Yeah, and like you said last week, you know, this team as it is right now is not going to be together next year. You know, so this is their shot to make a run. And the people that realize that, the guys on the team that realize that, that are going to put in the time to try and get as far as they can this year, because like you said, it's not guaranteed. They're, you know, Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, you look at all these teams that just expect to be there and are on the outside looking in right now.
Yeah, and Coach Nagy, out of everybody, Cat, I think the best thing he has done this year is get his team's mind right for each situation that they face. And now they face the fact that, look, we did accomplish something that no one else thought we could accomplish, but is this really our biggest goal? Are we satisfied here with where we are? Are we satisfied just being NFC North champs? Or do we want to ultimately be NFC champs and Super Bowl champs? And that's where he has to come in now, Coach Nagy, and he has to come in and reset his team's expectations on where they are and where they want to be.
Well, guys, just trying to report all the news here. I'm trying to keep up with things in real time via Twitter, and it would appear, according to the Chicago Bears official Twitter account, that after the game, not only did Charles Leno celebrate a NFC North championship, but he took a knee on the field. He had a ring stored somewhere, proposed to his girlfriend, and it says she said yes. So not only did he win an NFC North title, I guess Charles Leno is now officially engaged. And I do want to read something else to you here. Another one of the great guys on the beat, Adam Hogue, another radio station. We won't plug the station. We can certainly plug Adam because he does a great job. Talked to Charles in the locker room afterwards, and I think this is just a classic quote. Charles Leno said, and I quote, "I checked off so many things today. You know what the big one is? The proposal," in parentheses. He then goes on to say, "I never beat the Packers at home. I've never had a winning season. Never been NFC North champions. I've been through some dark days here, and this is one of the greatest days of my life." And
well,
so,
listen, way to guarantee you put her on midfield at Soldier Field. She can't say no, right, Cat. Yeah.
Well, if they'd lost, we don't know, you know. But I mean, that's
she can't say no in front of everybody. So look,
kind of backed her into
look,
the corner.
You guaranteed a yes.
Right.
So Leno, a good job today. That's like having a chip on your outside shoulder and help from the guard on the inside, Cat. You can't miss your block.
Right. You can't go wrong.
Stacey Dales, another one of our beat partners, and I believe Stacey's at the NFL Network, is reporting she just talked to Eddie Jackson. He's in a boot. He said it's a right ankle sprain. He told her he's going to be okay. Now, we don't know what that means. Got a couple weeks to get ready for the playoffs, so we will keep you up to speed on that as best we can. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. The bottom of the hour here on The Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves boast the highest scoring offense in the AHL. Join the Wolves at Allstate Arena all season long. Santa was there today for pictures. Hopefully he'll be back again. There will be free parking at Wolves games courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Let's get in at least one more call before we have to break. I think next up in Crown Point, Indiana, it is Mike's turn. Mike, thanks for calling. How you doing?
Oh, hey, guys. It's like waking up from a long nightmare. I still think back of Chris Conte blowing the coverage, you know, losing these guys. But I have a question for you, Hub, just rule related. why after the last sack of Aaron Rodgers, why didn't the clock keep running?
Because the Bears declined the penalty. You talk about Olin and I were talking about that because we said, I'm sorry, the last sack of Aaron Rodgers. Let me think about that. Was that a fourth? Was that the fourth down play? I think Mike's gone. I'd have to go back and look at the play-by-play. If he was, I think he was sacked on the fourth down play, and it was a change of possession. It was second down. The last sack was on second down. Then, unless they took a timeout, there's no reason for the clock not having. I'm talking to a fan here who is reminding me of what happened. Thank you. I'll have to go back and look at the play-by-play and check on that one for you. Let's get one more call before we get away, and I will have an answer for Mike on the other side. Rich is in Lansing. Rich, how you doing?
Pretty good, huh, man? How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great. Great win for Chicago. Great win for the Bears. My question is, man, let's see, 85, I was a 10-year-old kid. 2005, 30-year-old young man. But now we're on the cuff. Do you think Trubisky is the quarterback to take us to the Super Bowl and win it? Matt?
Well, Rich, I'll let the guys answer. Yes, I've seen enough to suggest that that may happen during his career. Do I think he's ready to do that right now? Certainly not by himself. Certainly he's not going to put a team on his shoulders the way that Aaron Rodgers has, the way that we've seen Tom Brady do so many times, even the way that Russell Wilson has. But I do think he's shown enough to suggest he can be that kind of player if they develop him. And I do think that the way they're playing right now, and again, I'm not making any predictions till I see who their first-round playoff opponent is. We'll go a week at a time. But they've got the best defense in the NFL right now. I mean, the defense is making plays that is winning games. And as callers have said, I think Olin just said a few minutes ago, defense travels, guys. And so I think there's a chance they could end up in a Super Bowl this year with Mr. Trubisky at quarterback. I don't think he's ready to be the guy that carries them there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, look, you've put yourself in a good situation right now as far as the defense being good, the defense being the dominant force. And if Trubisky can go out there and play a solid game, he doesn't have to blow the doors off the joint. He just has to play a solid game. Don't turn the ball over, no fumbles, no interceptions, and keep them on pace. You don't have to score every time down the field, but you do have to, hold on. You have to possess the ball. You have to eat up time on the clock. You have to allow that defense to do what it does, put people in bad situations, and hopefully get some points out of it. But, if they were able to go all the way this year and win, it would be because he did not do anything to mess it up. He didn't go out there and throw the big interception in the red zone, and everyone else took care of their responsibility in my thinking.
Yeah, and look, in Mitch's case, right, well, what is his strengths? His strengths is he has the ability to extend the play. He has the ability to escape the pocket, pick up a first down. When his first and or second read is there immediately, he does a nice job getting the ball to those guys, right? But when you make him read the whole field, lately he seems to have a problem. He was doing all right in the middle of the year. He was getting a lot better. To Hub's point of, why wouldn't you play him these last 2 weeks? Because it seems like the more he's playing, the more in the groove he gets, right? But as far as Mr. Trubisky goes, hopefully the last week of the season, at some point we see Kyle Long come off IR and he gets a little better protection there on the inside. Kyle lines up in there at right guard. You get one of your better players back. That makes you a little more comfortable at quarterback. And he just has to keep getting better because he is surrounded by a lot of weapons, right? He has a lot of guys out there, and Trey Burton, Miller, Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Howard. Tariq Cohen is unbelievable, right? You can line him up anywhere. Backfield, wide receiver. You can create a matchup for him anywhere in the playoffs. And the playoffs, Cat, like is all about matchups. It's all about, is my guy better than your guy? Can I get my guy lined up on your linebacker? If you can get Tariq Cohen on a linebacker and Mr. Trubisky find that matchup, anything is possible. So, like you guys have said, The defense is really good. Mitch just got to keep coming along, get showed a little more healthy, get back into the groove, and anything is possible with this team.
All right, and in response to our caller two calls ago, my thanks to our Bears fans here. We're in 89, but I'm pretty sure that's not Mike Ditka. He was correct. It was on second down with 24 seconds remaining. Leonard Floyd got his second sack of the game, sacked Aaron Rodgers at the Bears 27. The Packers were called for an illegal shift, which the Bears declined. They chose to take the sack instead. The clock stopped with the penalty call. Had the Bears accepted the penalty, they would have actually brought the ball forward because the penalty would have been shorter than the sack, and they would have taken a 10-second runoff on the clock. But because the Bears declined the penalty, it just stayed stopped. They got the benefit of the sack, and they ran it out from there. So I hope that explains that. We're going to take another quick break here, 312-644-6767. Before we go, by the way, since I brought it up, we want to send out on behalf of everybody at the Score, our thoughts are with Coach Ditka. He is doing well, been talking to some people all week long. It turns out that what was originally reported as a very mild heart attack was not that at all. It was a pretty serious heart attack, and Mike was in pretty serious shape, but he got great care down there on the west coast of Florida. Told he's doing well now, going to have some rehab to do. And so, Mike, everybody is thinking about you today. The Bears can't win a championship without all of us thinking about the coach. So thoughts and prayers, of course, with Mike Ditka. And I'm happy to report, according to Mike, everybody I've talked to this week, he is doing better now. We are back in a moment right here at the Score, 312-644-6767. Talk to you right around the corner.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
They have, and literally, Jeff, it's been everybody. And when I say that, I mean that. That's not a cliche. This has been everybody together. It started with Ryan giving me an opportunity with George and Ted in that interview room and giving me a chance. And then it started, and it's coming up on a year that happened. And from the very start, we've all been together on this thing.
You all recognize the voice by now, Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy. And yes, your Chicago Bears are the NFC North champions. It has taken a little while. They are headed for the playoffs. There will be playoff football by the lake here in Chicago this January. All about to start getting get started over now, guys, as we get ready. The Bears in the playoffs. A couple games to play first. They will go to San Francisco next Sunday. They will finish at Minnesota. Right now, Seattle is losing 17-13 to the 49ers early in the second half. Dallas got wiped out today. Bears in pretty good shape as far as the third seed. A real long shot to get a first or second seed. That will not all be settled until at least next week. 312-644-6767. Our phone number again. We have been out at Joe's on Weed Street all day long, 940 West Weed Street. If there is a better place in town to watch a sports event, I don't know what it is. Over 120 TVs. Joe's is the place to be on game day. The crowd has been great today. We are brought to you by Illini Care Health, Mr. and Mrs. T Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. Let's get to the phones again. And next up, it is going to be Patrick, who is on the Northwest. I hope this is my old buddy Patrick on the Northwest side. Is this Patrick, my EMT?
This is your old buddy on the Northwest side. I got to tell you, as a Bears fan, you know, season ticket holder, we get our tickets in August, and the playoff tickets come with them. You got an NFC championship game and an NFC playoff game. And usually,
Pat, let me interrupt you for 1 second. Can I tell the story? Let me just tell the story real quick. I'm going to get right back to your question. So this goes back, I don't know when we were at WGN. It's got to go back 20, 25 years. And I was doing some show, and Patrick was calling in, and I said something that upset him. I don't remember what it was. And I get a message on my voicemail in my office at Pro Football Weekly, and he was upset, and I didn't agree with him. But, you know, I thought, you know, the man's upset. He deserves a call back. So I called Patrick back. And we ended up, I don't remember how long we talked for. We found out that we had far more in common than we had disagreement with and stayed phone buddies for a long, long time. Now, Pat's not burning up the sports phone lines like he used to, but, Patrick, it is great to hear from you today. And as happy as I am for the Chicago Bears, I am happy for you as well because I know what a loyal Bears fan you are and how loyal you have been. Now, go ahead. Whatever you called to say, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. This would be about the time in the year or a few weeks ago where we would take the playoff tickets and burn them because they were useless. You know, I mean, what could you do with them? You know, you weren't going to the playoffs. I called you last year and said I was getting ready to be done. Tickets been in my family since the 40s, and I was ready to say I'm over. Me and my brother were tired of spending the money and going there and being miserable coming home. I take a trip to Italy on the money I've spent in the last 10 years. But now this year, we said at the beginning of the season, 7 wins, maybe 8. I'll be very, very happy. And they just keep getting better and better, and they play well. And, when you go home from the game, you're not aggravated. You're not ready to choke somebody. I got to work sometimes, so I can't go to every game. I have no problem getting rid of tickets. People want to go to the Bear games. And I can tell you, I work as a Chicago Fire Department paramedic. When the Bears are playing, not a lot of fans look on the street now all of a sudden. People want to stay home and watch the game a lot. So it's great. It is good for the city. It's good for the Bears. And I say congratulations to the organization. And I love your radio show. Olin, Big Cat, Hub, you guys are the only ones that tell it like it is. You know, when a fan calls up with a stupid question, you're the first to tell me that's a stupid question. You said something earlier in the show that sort of hit me is you're friends with these guys. You know these guys at a personal level, and not like, we know them as fans. And yet you could be critical of them, but you're respectful of them, and, you talk what's going on, in the game, actual strategy, what happened, what it's really like. To be a football player in the NFL. I think it's a great show. It's the only show we turn on when we come out of the game.
Well, Patrick, thank you very, very much. And guys, we are happy for Bears fans everywhere. But when you know a story firsthand, and as I said, I've been talking to Pat on the radio for 3 decades now, and this is a guy who's as loyal as they come. Also, Patrick, thank you so much for being a first responder. You guys are the best. And this is the feeling around the city today, guys. I mean, I know it's special for you as alum, as parts of the organization, and the fans have to get a different connection to the team, but the connection is every bit as strong, and it's what makes all this so special, that everybody gets to enjoy it so much.
Yes, it is special, and me and Kat have talked about this, Hub, a lot of times about we can't wait till the Bears win because it sure does suck when they're losing. It sure does suck calling for people's jobs when you know how hard they're working. You know what they're doing in that building. You know the number of hours they're spending. You know it means a lot to them, but it's just not working out. And they're not doing it the right way because they're not winning. Because all that matters, Cat, is wins and losses. That's the only thing that matters in this league. And when guys are not doing that, when you're doing the radio, you have to call them on it. But like the caller just said, we do know them personally, a lot of them. We do know the amount of work they're putting in. And here we are today. They sit on top of the NFC North. We're going to celebrate it. By no means are we going to act like they just won the Super Bowl. They got to the playoffs. They sit on top of the NFC North. Hopefully they hold on to the number 3 seed. But very happy, Cat, as I'm sure you are, as I'm sure Hub is, to mention people's names in a positive light, to mention Ted Phillips and say what a job you did, and the McCaskey family, and say what a job you did keeping Ryan Pace. To mention Ryan Pace, who I know known since I was in New Orleans. He was down there with Mickey Loomis, working for Mickey Loomis. I met him when I got in there, my first day in New Orleans. I met Ryan Pace, and I got to know him, a young guy who you could tell was up and coming, and he's turned this organization around. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to Matt Nagy, Harry Hiestand, and that whole organization for turning this thing around. And today you sit on top of the North at 10-4 after we all had a lot of questions for you and you proved a lot of us wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they stuck to their guns. They believed in what they believed in, and now you're on the other side of it and they're coming out on the other side looking pretty damn good, So, yeah, hats off to them. I feel happy for the organization. I'm happy for the players. I'm happy for the coaches. It's been a long time coming, but to have a young coach like Nagy come in here that has got the team on the right track, and not only on the right, they're on the right track, but they're having fun while they're doing it. And for me, that's big. you know, being able to see a team go out there and enjoy themselves as well as win. You know, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world. So my hat's off to those guys.
All right, guys, we are coming up on our 2 hours, but we're going to throw in one bonus championship segment here. Going to take the show till about 10 after 5. If you're on the lines when we go, Mike Esposito is coming in to take you up to Sunday Night Football. Going to continue to talk about Bears-Packers all day long. We got more calls coming. Don't hang up. You can talk to Kat Nolan in a moment. Actually, I'm going to take one more now. Quick break, another full segment, and then we're going to hand it off to Espo. But I want everybody to know Bears Talk is staying here for at least the next couple hours. There's a championship to be celebrated. Let's get to whose turn is it, Tony? I don't see anything flashing. There we go. We've got we got Lori in Indiana flashing. Lori, how you doing? Or is that Lauren or Lori?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Lori. Thank you.
Go Bears! They looked awesome today, I thought. I have one question for you guys. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. My question is, did anybody just see a lot of holding on Khalil Mack?
Well, Lori, I've never watched a game that Khalil Mack was in where there wasn't a lot of holding on Khalil Mack. I mean, that's your only prayer against the guy, and it happens all the time. I know Olin and I were talking about this late in the game. The Packers were just blatantly getting away with holding on those last two possessions, but there were times earlier in the game where I'm sure Charles Leno, Bobby Massey, got the benefit of the doubt. Holding guys, and I'm talking to two Pro Bowl offensive linemen, so I'm going to shut up and let you talk about it. It depends on who's throwing flags on a given day, because while the rule is clear, it really is left to the interpretation of that crew on that day and what they're going to call and what they're going to let go.
Yeah, there are certain things that, you know, they're going to let you get away with. But, you know, when you grab a guy, like, you know, when you saw the Mack sack, you know, where he threw his back into Rodgers and knocked him over, you know, the tackle had him around the neck, you know. So, I mean, these are things that you expect to be called. But, yeah, holding, you know, I didn't do it, but, you know, they say holding goes on every play. Hey, man, I need you not to laugh so
hard. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It kind of caught me off guard. The referees called it a certain way today. They let a lot of stuff go. There was a hold, I think, on Cody Whitehair in the first half where it was a cross dog in the middle. He got beat, and he yanked the guy and pulled him sideways and fell down, and it was blatant. And it seemed like that was the only thing they were going to call you on today, Cap. Yeah. So they let it go both ways. I'm sure Clay Matthews and Kyler Frackle and those guys are saying there was a lot of holding on the other side too. So, look, one thing you have to understand is as you get late in the year in the NFL, those refs put those flags a little deeper in their pockets, Cap, and they let a lot of things go. So this is what Mac's going to see in the playoffs. It was a good exhibition today for him to realize, like, you're going to get held a little bit, and they may let it go, and we still need you to get there anyway.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as a player, you know, you kind of gauge those things as games go on. You know, okay, I can get away with a little bit more because these guys aren't looking for this particular thing. You know, as long as it's not blatant and I'm not dragging a guy to the ground, they'll let you get away with certain things. And you kind of get into that rhythm as the game goes on. So, you know, as a player, you figure it out. You figure out how lenient they're going to be. And, you know, you're taught to take full advantage of that.
Yeah, and look, what's up? Oh, sorry. And look, here's the thing about what they're doing, right, Kat? Not only do you wait for, as the game goes on, as an offensive lineman, you notice who the refs are going into the game, right? And you know also, do you have a relationship with the guy? Do you know the guy well? What are you going to get away with? And the older you get, the more you know which guys will let you hold and which guys won't let you hold. So today, this crew, whoever was calling holding offensive lineman, they were letting a lot go.
Yeah, and one of the reasons there's a lot of chatter on this, I sent out a tweet that's gotten a lot of activity. I believe it was on the Packers' second-to-last possession before they kicked the field goal. And I think it was a second-down play where David Bakhtiari, who is an all-pro left tackle, got Leonard Floyd by the front of the jersey with his right hand, but grabbed him literally by the elbow with his left hand and was swinging him around in front of the official as Rodgers scrambled out in front of him. And the ref was standing there looking at it, and I was like, come on. I mean, there's some stuff
I'm
you can
confused.
Let go.
Is that holding?
Yeah. Hey, that didn't sound like holding to me. But, hey, we had to be there.
So you're saying he's grabbed the guy and swung him around.
Yeah, I thought I was watching rugby. I didn't know what it was. So anyway, listen, it happened on both sides. The right team won. That's all that matters. We got one more bank of calls for you, guys. We got a bonus bank because it's Championship Sunday. Going to take a quick break here. We're back in just a moment on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let me tell you something that I think is just awesome about this team is when we got down and something didn't go our way, we completely responded. And that's something that's powerful that we have going on right now is our defense stepped up, got a three and out. Our special teams had a nice punt return, and our offense scored a touchdown when needed. And that's a full team effort.
We're back with more of the Scores Bears postgame show with Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams, and Hub Arkish. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking at you again on behalf of Olin and Kat. One more time, we want to say thanks to the great folks here at Joe's on Weed Street. It's 940 West Weed Street, guys. There's not a better place in town to watch a game, to be on game day. Over 120 TVs. The food has been outstanding. The cocktails have been outstanding. Today's broadcast has been presented by Illini Healthcare, Mr. and Mrs. T Bloody Mary Mix, and Papa Charlie's Italian Beef. And once more, we have a Bears fan buying us a toast. We will toast the championship as we sign off the show, guys. We're going to take a few more calls here. We thank you all so much. Actually, for the second straight week, we have a Chicago Bears coach who has joined us at the show, but the name shall be kept secret to protect the innocent. It's always great to have the guys stopping by. Yeah, you can try and figure it out yourselves, guys. Everybody's looking at me now like, who is it? That's up to you to figure out. 312-644-6767. Let's get to Ricky out in Deerfield. Ricky, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm curious. I want to hear Olin and Big Cat. You know what your body feels like after 14 games of playing NFL football? Would you rather you get 2 weeks off and you're well rested for the playoffs, or would you rather you played to get a chance to maybe have home field advantage? What's your take?
Let us swallow. Okay.
Whoa.
Our shots, that is.
PG show.
Please, come on.
You know, Kat, that's an interesting question because that really does depend, Kat. It goes back to your point. It depends on where you're at in your career, right?
Yeah.
Because do I want time off? I'll tell you this. Early in my career, if you try to take me out of the huddle, like you would know, Kat, there's a serious problem there. I do not want to come off the field. I felt like I had a lot to learn, which is probably where Mitch is right now in his development on the field. But if you leave Mitch on the field, you can't take the offensive line off the field. You have to leave everybody out there to develop. The fairest way I can answer this question, Kat, is it all depends on where you are in your career.
Yeah.
If you're in the first, you know, 5 or 6 years, you probably want to be on the field. If you're anywhere after 30, you probably like a little break.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the older you get, the longer it takes you to recover or to recuperate. So, you know, is me taking a couple plays off at the end of a game, or taking a quarter off, or not being able to, or not having to play a game, gonna do more good for me or more harm? You know, is it gonna take me just as long to get myself revved back up from taking a week off, or, you know, do I go in and I work that week, play that game, and just go through my normal recovery stuff for the week? So yeah, it's hard and it's different for every guy. Didn't really have an opportunity too many times when I played to actually come off the field because we were in such a good position. But, yeah, I mean, you take advantage of that rest when you can get it as a player.
Yeah, I think to answer the question, really, we would have to know the full situation, yeah. Right? We'd have to know where the Bears are. Are they the third seed? Are they guaranteed? Who are they going to face? You know, what is the better matchup for them? Because health is the most important thing, Cap. Right. Having your whole team there is the most. It's been the biggest advantage the Bears have had against almost every team they face this year, that they've had all their guys there ready to play most of the time. And when they didn't, it was against the right team, right? Yeah. So Mack and Robinson are out. Well, who are they facing? They're facing the Bills and the Jets. Well, that's a plus for them. You can win those games without those two guys. Now, in the playoffs, that's a little different. But like Hub had said earlier, Mitch Trubisky looked a little rusty last week after 2 weeks off, right? Do you put him in a game? And once you do, Cat, like you said, you better have everybody else out there with him.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get to Tennessee. It looks like Eastern Tennessee, where Dave is on the line. Dave, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, Hub. You hear me?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, good. We're a long way down here. Hey, listen, I was watching the game, and the thing that really surprised...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.